Welcome to That's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Welcome to That's Wild. It's the podcast where we explore all the amazing things in our natural world. I'm your host, Susan Altrui from the Little Rock Zoo, and I am joined by my always amazing, fantastic, fabulous co-host, Joy Matlock.
Thank you. That's one wonderful intro.
You know, I try to make it special and spicy every single time.
You can be my hype woman any day.
Look, I'm here for you. I am here for you. Here for you, Joy. Mm-hmm. So what are we discussing today, Joy?
Well, Susan, how about the secret languages of the wild?
Ooh,
how animals talk. The animal wild is full of chatter, and today, well, kind of like us, and today we'll be exploring.
We certainly are full of chatter, that's for sure.
We'll be discussing the different ways that animals communicate today.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
And later on, our great, great friend, zookeeper Hannah, will join us with a very special guest. So I bet you don't know who.
Who?
That might be.
Now, okay, we've used that joke before.
Perhaps we have. Perhaps we have.
It's going to be, but we're going to use it again because
okay.
It's good.
All right.
I like that joke. So, well, let's jump right in. So okay. We're going to be talking about decoding languages of the wild. And I love talking about language because I'm a communications major.
I didn't know
so,
that.
So shout out to Arkansas State University where I got my major in communication. Go Red Wolves. And shout out to Colorado State University where I got my master's in communication. Go Rams.
All right.
Put some little animal mascots in
exactly.
there. Why not?
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, in communication, you learn all about the importance of language mm-hmm. and the impact that language has mm-hmm. on our everyday. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so great that we're talking about that in this episode, because as humans, which we are animals, we use language every day to communicate. And so we have our own language that impacts our world. And language is so, so important. And it turns out that every animal has a language. Mm-hmm. And so I am so excited that we are talking about this today. So let's look at what we've got. What do we have coming up, Joy?
Sure. So on those terms of communication, you're talking about human language. Yeah. When we think about communication, when it comes to animals, we usually think of sound, like a lion's roar mm. or a bird's mm. song or an animal sound that I was surprised to learn about, the penguin, that makes a braying sound, kind of like a donkey. So they communicate interestingly.
Yes. I love that bray.
But animals have many ways to get their messages across.
Yeah, they certainly do. And some of us, we use movement and body language just like animals do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, body language, they actually say, communicates a lot more than even regular language does.
I can believe that.
Sometimes there's some experts that even say it's somewhere between 75 and 80% of all communication is body language.
Interesting.
Like right now, I'm talking with my hands because I am Italian and I can't stop talking with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, they say I learned this from my father because he's always
does
like,
that.
What are you doing? You know, it's very Italian mm-hmm. thing to do. So I'm going to put my hands down in a way.
No, if that's part of who you are, don't hide
always
it.
Always talking with my hands. No, okay, you're coming back out.
Okay, good.
Because I emphasize things with my hands all the time. But okay, so we use movement, we use body language. So there are other animals that they change their color to
mm-hmm.
communicate,
mm-hmm.
which is wild. Like, that's wild that you mm-hmm. can change. Could you imagine if we could change color all the time?
You know, I don't think I'd want to do that.
I mean, we kind of do, though. But
well,
think about
do.
It. We kind of
yeah.
do. So if we're mad, we get red
mm-hmm.
or we get flushed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that, mm-hmm. that does kind of step into us sometimes.
But I wouldn't want to give away what I'm really feeling.
I know, right?
You know?
Yeah. Like just imagine if we turned blue when something happened.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know, that would be wild.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. But there are some animals that they emit smells.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of smell,
mm-hmm.
like bad smell when they need to.
And to communicate fear.
To communicate,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to communicate fear or like to communicate, get away from me. So yeah, lots
yeah.
of things.
Well, an example of that movement to talk to one another is what honeybees do. And they'll dance to tell each other where to find food. That's pretty handy.
Okay. Yeah. What's that dance all about?
It's kind of the wiggle dance. And
I'm sorry. The what dance?
I'm sorry. The wiggle dance or the waggle dance? however you want to say that. But it's kind of like when they do a figure eight, and it's basically kind of like a GPS between them telling each other where the food is. It's kind of their choreography, if you will.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Do we want to give that a try to figure out where the food is?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Why not?
Okay, I'm gonna try to do this so we can tell each other where the food is.
Okay.
All right. Naturals at
this.
We're
good. We're good.
Yeah, right.
But where's the food though?
It's tacos.
It's tacos.
You're doing the Macarena,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's tacos
that's
for lunch,
okay.
Right? And did you catch it was a wrap?
Okay.
It's a wrap after
like
this,
a,
right?
A wrap, yeah.
It's a wrap after. That's why I was
like
I was swinging the lasso.
Wrap. Got
right?
it.
It was
got
swinging
it.
The lasso to
I
say
it.
It's a wrap after this. Tacos for lunch.
Got
right?
it.
Okay.
Got
see,
it. Yes.
We're naturals at this.
I'm
right?
glad we can also stop though, just to make sure that we understood what we were saying.
Well, that's right. That's why the verbal communication is good too. But you know, it just goes to show you the power of sign language,
mm-hmm.
nonverbal communication. There's lots of ways to communicate, just like our animal friends.
That's true.
We are natural. So what are some other wild ways that animals communicate through movement? Tell us a little bit about skunks, Joy.
So skunks combine movement and smell. If you've ever smelled one, I'm sure you've not forgotten that experience.
That's true.
If you see one stomping its feet and raising its tail at the same time,
okay.
That's a great way of saying back off.
Okay.
You might not want to do this. You might want to keep your distance.
Very good to know. You know, at the zoo, we have some animals that have a little bit of a skunk smell. Our maned wolves,
mm-hmm.
people tell us, smell a little skunk.
They have distinctive.
They do have a very distinct aura, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
There are some lizards that use flashy displays like puffing out their throat pouches to show dominance to attract a mate. So that's also very interesting and an interesting way to communicate.
Mm-hmm. And there's not necessarily movement like our amazing dance moves that we just used. But squids can change your color to send signals to each other by controlling tiny sacks of pigments called chromophores.
I want you to say that word again.
Am I getting tested?
Say it three times fast.
Chromatophores.
Chromatophores. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
And when you think of a squid, that's a kind of a mouthful. Yes.
So, okay, so the chroma is color.
Color,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're changing color.
Yeah, chromatophores.
Chromatophores.
Yeah. Y'all, that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful, but yeah.
C-H-R-O-M-A-T-O-P-H-O-R-E-S. That's the word of the day right there.
It is.
Folks.
I think that we need to have a word of the day.
Yeah, we do. We're going to have our producers like put that
a
up
word
on
of the day and like the definition of it.
On the television.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then
the
phonetic spelling so everyone can spell
that's
it correctly.
That's right. Yeah, because that's the word of the day right there.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But no, I've seen on different documentaries about squid and I think octopus to do the same thing, changing their colors to signal and communicate to one
that's
another.
That's fascinating.
It is. It really is.
That is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So tell us about fireflies.
And fireflies, they light up the night with their own Morse code as well.
Ooh.
And, you know, I always thought, especially being a Southerner, and you see fireflies at summertime, you just thought they were just being pretty. Or at least I should say I
just
thought
pretty.
They were
yes.
just being pretty.
And they're doing it for us.
Yes. No idea they're actually signaling to one another, giving language to one another, communicating to one another with their unique flashing patterns.
Yeah.
And they're doing that to, of course, attract mates.
There's a lot of things the animals do in the animal kingdom to attract another mate. A lot of effort going in there.
There's lots of that comes back around a lot.
It does,
that theme,
doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So basically, they're out there sending love notes to one another.
I mean, you gotta love that.
I do.
That our friends with the flashing signals out there are sending love notes in the sky.
Yeah,
that's really beautiful
that is
when
sweet.
You think about it.
It's sweet. Mm-hmm. But those movements are just one part of communication, one part of the conversation.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We've talked about many different types of communication, but we have skipped over sounds.
Okay.
And that's because we wanted to save the best for last
Ooh.
With our special guest, Hannah.
I can't wait to have Hannah back.
All right. Let's bring Hannah on.
Hannah, it's always good to see you.
Thank you.
So who do we have here today?
Who do we have? This is Lincoln. This is a great horned owl. So if you live in Arkansas or if you live in the United States at all, this is one of the most common owls that we have. And he says hello.
He's introducing himself. Good morning, Lincoln.
Yeah. You see why I chose him now for a communication episode. He is very vocal. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea why an owl might be vocal? Why are they hooting? What they're saying?
I bet they're maybe letting other prey know or predators know that this is my territory.
Exactly. Okay. So they do it for territorial displays. They're basically saying they've got about a mile territory, give or take. They're basically saying, hey, this is occupied. Stay out. He's also saying sometimes, hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies. Hey, ladies.
There is a handsome man over here if you are interested. So those are two of the big reasons they like to vocalize. You guys talked a little bit about nonverbal communication, which is great because he has two things right now I can tell you are visual communication. Do you see what they might be?
The way that he's maybe tilting his head.
That's something. So these right here.
Uh-huh.
So these feather tufts on top of their head, they are kind of, they look like ears. A lot of people think they're ears. Mm-hmm. They have nothing to do with hearing. They are used for courtship, or so again, looking handsome.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're handsome.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're also used for defending himself or looking scarier than he is. If he is having a territorial battle or there's a predator, they just make him look like a bigger animal. They also are used in camouflage, so they break up his shape a little bit.
For sure.
They have a lot of important reasons. This right here, this white throat patch, it's called a throat patch. Actually, I don't know if it's called a throat patch. I'm calling it a throat patch.
Sure, we'll go.
I should just be confident and y'all just go with it.
Yes.
This is a throat patch.
Yes, throat patch. Yes, tell us about the throat patch.
So that just emphasizes what he has to say. It's a visual kind of backup to his vocalization. Mm-hmm. So it's
interesting how he's kind of puffing it in and out like that.
He does, yeah. He does. So not only are you hearing him, but you're also seeing that he is saying something, and it's important, right, buddy?
So that's not actually connected to his breath, necessarily. He's actually making it move independently.
Right. Yeah. Okay. He is very, very talkative.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. So that's kind of the, not only, like you were saying, the sound, but the body language, too, that we've been talking about with communication.
These guys, so one of the things you might notice, especially if you're watching right now, is he's got a really dark eye. You see how one of his eyes is black and one's yellow? He was injured in the wild, so that is why he lives with us, which is obviously really sad for him that that happened, but it's very common that these get injured in the wild. A lot of the problems that they face are, and I think we've talked about this before, car strikes. It's a big deal for owls.
Mm-hmm.
One of the easiest ways you can help not let that happen is don't litter. Don't throw trash out of your car, because what that's doing is attracting prey items to the side of the road, and then it's attracting owls to those prey items, and then they get hit by cars.
Right.
So that's possibly what had happened to him, but he can't see out of that eye, and he really relies on his vision, among other things, to hunt, so he has to live with us. But now he's an ambassador.
One of the most important lessons I learned from you was not to throw things like apple cores or banana peels out of the window of your car, because I think some people have this idea, oh, well, it's compostable, I can throw it out, but that's what attracts their prey, like little rodents, to the side of the road, and then it attracts them, and then they get hit by a car.
Definitely. I did the same thing, so if you're out there and you throw your apple cores out of your car, don't feel guilty, now you know better, because I did the same thing. I thought, a little squirrel could eat this. This is nice,
that's
you know,
right.
But
that's right.
If it's by the road, it's attracting things to the road, and we never want them there. Another thing we could, speaking of prey, do you want to talk about their prey?
Yes.
It's pretty interesting. They use multiple senses to hunt. So one of the things they don't use is their nose. So they don't have a very strong sense of smell. So one of the prey items they really like is skunks, right? I have a joke I could tell you guys about skunks, but you wouldn't want to hear it because it really stinks. Thank you. I was debating, like, do I go with my cheesy joke every time? Yes, I'm going to do it every time.
Yes.
But really, they really do. They really do take down skunks. They'll pretty much eat anything smaller than them. So they are carnivores.
Okay.
That's why he's got this hooked beak, these sharp talons. That's how he catches his prey.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has forward-facing eyes. Mm-hmm. He's like, I will eat your glove right now. Yes. I'll show you.
He
needs
that
finger
off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
On cue. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, on
you.
Cue.
He is communicating to me right now, non-verbally, telling me, please keep your hands still, which I will do.
Keep your hands to yourself.
But they'll eat eat anything smaller than them. So they'll eat lizards, snakes, birds. They're opportunistic. So, other owls, they're predator to other owls.
Really?
Yes. And this is the largest owl that we have in Arkansas. I'm sure it's the largest owl we have in several states, especially here in the South. So, yeah, and females get even bigger.
Oh, wow. Oh, the female's bigger than the male.
Yep.
Wow. So I was going to ask you a question about, I know he's got almost, not quite a 360 with his neck, but is it, is part of the reason why he turns so much because that eye is injured?
So part of the, great question. Owls are famous for turning their heads 270 degrees, so that's almost all the way around. They do that because their eyes are so large compared to their face that they don't have room for the eye muscles that we have. So you guys, or if you're listening, you can move your eyes side to side without moving your head, right?
Right.
We have our audiences do that all the time. He can't do that, so he has to move his whole head. So he can move his whole head because he has 14 bones in his neck.
Wow.
You have 7. I have 7. A giraffe only has 7. So 14 bones is a lot, and that's so that they can rotate their head.
I see.
Wow.
That's amazing.
He really is feeling himself today. He's. I told you guys he was kind of a diva this morning, and that's okay.
Well, he's got twice the bones in the neck that we do.
He does. Yeah. Wow. So he can rotate his head 270 degrees. So not only is he a big communicator, but they are also built to hear things, not necessarily on communication, but they have amazing hearing. Mm-hmm. That's something that's really known about owls. See, his face is kind of shaped like a heart.
Yes.
It's even more pronounced in like a barn owl.
Right.
That's kind of like a big satellite dish, so it catches sound and sends it to their ears. And then some owls have ears that are one higher than the other so that they can pinpoint sound. I think we talked about that last time.
Yes, we have.
But they are built to hear very well, not be heard, so he's completely silent when he flies. So if you hear an owl hooting, it is not hunting. That would be a very bad strategy.
Right, exactly. I'm right here.
Here I am. I also told, one of our producers this morning, if you live in Arkansas and you hear an owl hooting, it's one of only two owls. So it's either a great horned owl or it's a barred owl. They've got lots of other communication they can make. Even a great horned owl like Lincoln, he can hiss, he'll clack his beak. So they've got other, like, more guttural sounds that they can make. So,
are there different meanings for the clicking and the hissing?
Yeah, there's lots of different meanings. So a click or a hiss is aggressive. That's angry. A hooting, like I said, it's either territorial or courtship. But, yeah, they definitely can communicate how they feel. These feather tufts also help communicate their mood. So he can lay it tight back on his head if he needs to. He can move them however he needs to.
Okay. So what does the movement of the feathers indicate? Do we know what he's trying to communicate? When
it depends. You'll have to ask him.
Okay, I'll do that.
Why don't you do that? No, sometimes he puts his feathers back when he's nervous. It's not like a dog or a horse where he's angry and puts his feathers back. In fact, it's mostly the opposite. His feathers are up when he wants to look intimidating. So if he puts his feathers back, he's usually trying to be like, don't notice me.
Yeah. I see. Well, I've always been fascinated by Lincoln. Always. He's handsome and wants to be known and wants to be heard, and I think he's beautiful too.
He's pretty awesome. Yeah. On one final note on communication, I'm going to help you guys with communication.
Okay.
Chromatophores is what you were trying to say earlier.
Chromatophores. We should have had you as our expert.
I was saying it's funny how the words I use in my everyday life you guys don't use, because even though we all work at the zoo, we're in very different roles. But
absolutely.
Chromatophores. So it's a little easier to
export and enjoy.
Got it.
Get us straightened out there.
Chromatophores. Yes.
It's easier to say than what you guys were trying to say.
we're gonna have to shine that up again. Chromatophores.
Chromatophores.
Yes.
Hopefully I'm saying it right, but that's. That's how I've always said it.
That's how you say it. Yeah. Got it. Along with the tough.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing Lincoln with us. He's always fun to get to spend some time with. I'm glad we were able to share it with our podcast listeners and viewers.
Yeah. He says, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thanks, Lincoln.
And he's time to go eat a rat.
He's going to have a snack on the way out.
Snack. Why not?
Thanks.
Well, Joy, we have covered so much today. We've talked about how animals use body language. We've talked about how they emit light, that wonderful new word that we learned.
Chromatophore.
Yeah. Hey, give
me a star. Gold star for me.
Gold star for you. You
yes,
nailed
thank
it.
You. Uh-huh.
We've talked about how they create smells and how they have a wide range of sounds to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, I think that is a wrap for today's Wild Talk, Decoding Animal Language. And a huge thank you to Hannah for joining us
today. Yes, we always love having Hannah. She always makes it fun, makes it educational. I appreciate her every time. And thanks to all of you all who are listening and who are watching. And if you've loved today's episode, please like and subscribe and go back and watch our other episodes and tell all your friends.
Yes, and don't forget to come and visit us at the Little Rock Zoo or an accredited zoo near you. Come and meet some of these amazing, amazing animals in person. And until next time,
stay wild.